We're going to do our tithes and offering, and we're continuing on with our Never Give Up series. And you can't see the verse that God erased, but it's Psalm 31:24. And I felt like the Lord drew me to this verse this week, and I loved this picture. I was looking for a picture of a pot, of just a planter's pot with dirt inside. And when I found this picture, it just excited me because the Lord tells us to come to Him as what? Adults? Youth? No. He says, come to Him as little children. How many people remember, I think they've done this for years, when you were probably in kindergarten or in first grade, you got to plant a seed in a pot, and every day you would sprinkle or spritz a little bit of water on it, and you were waiting in anticipation for that little teeny tiny green leaf or piece of green that would poke up out of the dirt in your cup, right? I remember that everybody would get so excited when the first person saw theirs because you knew yours was on the way, right? And that's the excitement that kids bring. They don't give up on stuff. When they see something and they want something, how many people know they keep asking, and they keep asking, and they keep asking, and they keep asking, and they keep asking until their parents finally say, all right, right? They never give up. Excuse me. And that's what this verse is about. Let's go ahead and read. I'm going to read it in a couple translations. But NIV says, be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord. There's another one. New King James says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all who hope in the Lord. The Living Bible says, so cheer up. Take courage if you are depending on the Lord. Sometimes I think adults need to be told that. Hey, cheer up, right? Don't be so down. Don't be so discouraged. Cheer up. Sometimes you got to look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and go, cheer up. Okay, God's got this. Cheer up. Take courage if you're depending on the Lord. Amplified Bible says, be strong and let your hearts take courage, all you who wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Strong in this verse means to be or to grow firm or strong, to cleave, to be constant, fastened upon. When I think of a little kid, I think of a thought that they fasten upon and they don't let go. You ever been in the store with a little kid and they see something that they want and you're trying everything you can do to distract them? Oh, look at this. Oh, look at that. And they're like, yeah, but mom, this one over here. And like, oh, yeah, but look at this over here. Yeah, but this one over here, right? And you're actually pulling them away and they're pulling against you because they've fastened onto something. This is the part of childlike faith that we need to grab hold of. We need to fasten upon the Word of God and not let go. And not give up. I love the version in the NIRV, which is a version that was it's New International Reader's Version, so it's for meant for kids. And it says this, be strong, all of you who put your hope in the Lord, never give up. I love that. Never give up. Sometimes as adults, we look at the dirt in our little potting plant and we worry about it. Oh, is it growing? Is it doing anything? I wonder. I can't see anything. Do you suppose? I think it needs more water. Oh, man. Maybe it needs more sun. Man, maybe I better do this. Maybe I better do that. Do you think little kids do that? No. They just sit there and they go, ooh, I wonder I'm going to see something green. Oh, I'm so excited. I put my seed in here. I put my seed in there. I remember with some of the kids' classes when I worked when they were little, how excited they would get over a pot of dirt. Seriously, it'd be, okay, it's time to, you know, do your little spritz of water over your pots of dirt. Oh, they were so excited. It's pots of dirt, right? But see, that's the problem. As adults, we see pots of dirt. As kids, they see pots of potential. That's the difference. And so for us, we look at dirt and we don't see anything and we say, this can never happen. Little kids, they look at it, they see possibility and they say, it's only a matter of time before something happens. Do you see the difference in the viewpoints? And this is where we need to become childlike, not childish, but childlike faith, and never give up on the promises that God has given you for your finances. This is a life-changing thing if you will learn. And what does he say? He says, cheer up, be brave, be strong, be of good courage. He's saying all these different ways of telling us, listen, it's okay. I've got this. You stay cheered up. You stay childlike. Let me do my work. And if you keep your hope in me, you are going to see the fruit of your labor. Amen? Isn't God so good? So when you're looking at your pot and all you see is dirt, don't panic. Look at your pot and say, I see potential. I know I have planted my seed with my tithes and my offerings, and I see potential. Dirt, you are growing something in you, right? Change the way you're looking at things and be in expectation that God is already doing a work in your dirt. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I thank you so much for this word. Never give up. No, we're going to be strong. We're going to take courage, Father, because we trust in you with our finances. Help us, Father, to look at our checkbooks as pots of dirt. And I thank you, Father, that as we look, when it looks like there is nothing there but dirt, no fruit, I pray we would speak to our checkbooks like little kids speak to their pots. Grow, grow. I'm so excited. I can't wait to see you. Grow, grow, grow. That we would have an expectation, an anticipation of what you're going to do in our finances for these last days. And God, I thank you that we give you all the praise and all the glory because you give seed to the sower and you bring forth the harvest. And we praise you for every step along the way. And God, we say today, give us childlike thoughts as far as faith is concerned. Help us to not see dirt in our pots. Help us to see potential in our pots. We praise you for your word today. Bless every seed that is sown and bless the sower 100-fold. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and open up to Esther 4. And this is one of those times where you almost don't have to study for something that just goes poof, and it's just dropped into your lap. And we're going to be looking at verse 14, which is a very, very famous scripture. And it says, for if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. Most of you know this is the story of Esther. And we love to quote this verse. This is a famous verse, especially when someone has arrived in a place of leadership or they've gained, they've gone up the ladder at their company or maybe they've been elected into a certain office. And we love to quote this verse, that they've been brought into this place for such a time as this. And that is true. But what I felt the Lord saying today is this verse is for everyone. For such a time as this. We love to say verses like, God has a plan for me, Jeremiah 29:11. He makes my way straight, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The Lord establishes my steps, Proverbs 16:9. The good work that he began in me, he will complete, Philippians 1, 6. For he works all things together for my good, Romans 8, 28. But how many times have we been somewhere and we thought, how in the world did I get here? Why am I here, right? When you look at the story of Esther, at this moment of her life, her cousin is telling her that perhaps she has been put in this place for such a time as this. So you have to stop for a second and ask yourself, okay, where is she, right? We know from the story that she has been made queen. She is probably like the highest lady in the kingdom. She lives in a royal palace, right? We often look at the story and we go, oh, she made it. She's the queen, right? But Esther was an everyday, normal person. She wasn't born into royalty. So let's look at some of the things in her life. Because sometimes we look at Bible characters and we kind of set them on a pedestal and, well, they don't understand me because they're not like me, right? We kind of separate ourselves. But sometimes it's good to look at the character and see who they are or see who they were so that we can find points that we can identify with. So Esther's life began with losing both of her parents. She was orphaned. She was raised by a family member, which was wonderful that she was able to have family that brought her in. She was beautiful. She was known for her beauty. In fact, she was chosen because she was beautiful. We know that King Xerxes had dismissed Queen Vashti because she wouldn't answer a call that he had called for her. And he's looking for a new queen. And so the women that were chosen because of their outward appearance. Sometimes you're chosen in life because of your outward appearance, or sometimes you're chosen because you don't have a great outward appearance, right? So sometimes you can get a complex of, well, nobody chose me. But there's also the other side where everybody chooses you only because of your beauty, right? So there's always two sides to something. Excuse me. And then it goes on and it says that she was chosen by the king. She found favor and she was chosen by the king. Does anywhere in this say that Esther is deemed to be queen? No. And in most aspects of who we see Esther is, she was probably a little bit more of a shy, timid personality. She wasn't a dominant, get in your face, go for it cheerleader. She was probably the quiet one that was helping around the edges, you know, setting things up. She didn't choose to be queen. She didn't choose to be in this place, right? And then a lot of people don't realize or recognize that shortly after becoming queen, there was a whole new group that was brought to the king of women. She's queen, but you had to be summoned to the king. It wasn't just you were queen and that was it. So at this point, when her cousin is telling her she needs to do something for her people and herself, she hadn't seen the king in a month, at least. So she's in this queen position, and yet she's unwanted. Something we don't think about, right? We just look at she was queen, how wonderful. But she was more, in those days, his property, right? Kind of like if he had a great-looking, like, horse or racehorse that he would show off. That was what queens were like. They were just an ornament to be shown off, okay? She was hated by Haman, or her people were. Her life was in danger because of a decree, and she risked losing her life to do what was being asked of her to do. So for such a time as this, this is the time that we're talking about. In Hebrew, such a time means appointed time, certain time, due season, now, timely. Esther didn't ask to be in the position that she was. Some of us have been put into positions we didn't ask for. We didn't plan for our lives to look like this. We didn't expect it to turn out this way, right? Maybe for the better, we got better than we thought, or maybe for the worse, or maybe just random things in your life that have placed you where you are right now in your life. I'm here to tell you today, for such a time as this, you have been placed where you are for a reason. For a reason. I'm sure like Esther, we have thought or asked, why me? Why am I here? What did I do to deserve this or earn this? I don't want to be here. This isn't what I thought my life would look like. These and many other questions like it tend to be our first response, but the Lord is speaking through his word and the people he has placed in your life, like Mordecai, to remind us that we have been chosen because there is a work for us to do. A lot of times when we hear that, well, we're chosen. Well, God didn't choose me. Yes, he did. He chose you. He called you by name. When you were being formed in your mother's womb, he called you. He has a plan for your life. There is a calling on each one of us to do something for the Lord. There is no age limit. You're not too young and you're not too old. You're not too rich and you're not too poor. It's not because you're a guy or because you're a girl. It's not because you're from this race or that race. There are no excuses. Each one of us, God has a plan for. And for such a time. Let's go back to that. It's an appointed time. It's a certain time. It's a due season. Listen, church family, now is the time. Now is the time. God is calling for us to rise up for such a time as this. You may think, well, but you don't know what I've gone through. Well, I know what Esther went through just by reading her story. She could have been bitter. She could have been angry at the world. She could have blamed people. She could have drawn into herself and said, no, I don't want any of this. She could have been an angry person. But we don't see any of those things in her life. What do we see? Humility. She humbles herself. She puts herself in a position where she listens to people who know more than her. That's a gift. That's a gift, right? Because she recognizes, I don't know everything. I am so out of my league. And when God places people in her life, she heeds their voice and she does what they've asked her to do, right? And she gets favor after favor after favor. There's a lot of things in our lives, I'm sure if we went through each one of us, I'm sure that there are things that each one of us could say, well, this happened to me or this happened to me, and I'm here because, well, I didn't want to be here, but I'm here. But I'm here to tell you today, instead of focusing on the situation we are in and being argumentative with God and complaining and whining, we should be like Esther and we should be looking around to see who God is trying to use us to reach or to save. For such a time as this, we have been placed right where we are in this season for a reason. It's not accident. It's not chance. Right now, in this season, you are placed here. You're placed in this church. You're placed in your neighborhood. You're placed in your city. You're placed in your state for such a time as this. God has an incredible plan. And in these last days, he is looking for those who will say, yes, sir, use me. Use me. Use me, Lord. And you may think, well, how in the world can God use me? If you're willing and obedient, he can do mighty works through you, whatever season of life you are in. Amen? And there are four things that we'll quickly go over in this story of Esther that just jumped out to me. And the first one is God places us where we are for his purpose to be accomplished. God places us where we are for his purpose to be accomplished. Esther didn't end up where she was on accident. It was a divine placement. But she had a role to play. She could have kicked and screamed the entire way. She could have said no. There were lots of points along this story that Esther could have said, this is too much. I can't do this. But God had a plan and a purpose, and she humbled herself before the Lord. She stayed teachable, and she stayed close. What does it say right after this that she did? It said she asked Mordecai to have everyone fast and pray. You see, Esther realized something. I cannot do this on my own. So if you're in a situation and the Lord is calling you to do something and you look at it and you go, oh, my word. Whoa, God, are we talking? Are you talking to the right person here? You can't possibly be talking to me. I mean, we both know who I am. No. Say, Lord, you know what? I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast about this. And I'm going to seek you and I'm going to find my answer. Stay humble and teachable because God has placed us where we are for his purpose to be accomplished. There was another man in the Bible that God used for such a time. His name is Joseph. And we know his story. But it wasn't by accident that all the things happened in his life. God took what the enemy meant for harm and he turned it for good. Because God wasn't just looking out for Joseph. God wasn't just looking out for Egypt. God had made a covenant with Jacob. And it took Joseph to Egypt, risen up to be second in command of the country. Does it ever say that Joseph asked for that? No. Did Joseph ask for anything that happened to him? Like Esther? No. And guess what, guys? He was treated badly by his family. He was lied about. He was thrown into prison wrongly. There was thing after thing after thing that Joseph could have been bitter. Again, he could have chosen to hold a grudge. He could have chosen to risen to power and said, I'm going to squash those brothers of mine when they get here. But he didn't. He stayed true to what God called him to do. And God places us where we are for his purpose to be accomplished. And he is looking today for those in this room that he can use to accomplish what he needs accomplished in our neighborhoods, in our cities, in our states, in our families. He is looking for people who will rise up and say, let it be me, Lord. I'll be the one. God had a plan, and it was accomplished. And you know what's so awesome is we see because of Esther and Joseph's willingness to humble themselves before the Lord, they both are saved, right? But not just them. They are both saved. Their families are both saved. Their nations are both saved and beyond. That nation, there was a decree that went forth from Xerxes of, you know what? This Jewish God is a good God. So the nation that Xerxes was in, the Medes and the Persians, they were awakened, enlightened again to there is a true God. Egypt realized there must be a God because no one else could tell Pharaoh his dreams except Joseph. And what did Joseph say? I can't interpret your dream, but I know someone who can. Do you see what's happening? It's not just the people themselves that are being impacted, not just their families, not just their nation, but the world. One person. I'm here to tell you today, it doesn't matter what the world says, one person can make all the difference. One person can turn the tide. One person rising up and doing what God has asked them to do can change the world. Are you listening to me today? Can change the world. For such a time as this, you have been placed at your work. For such a time as this, you have been placed in your neighborhood. For such a time as this, God places us where we are for his purpose to be accomplished. Number two, God has given us each something special for where he has called us to. God has given us each something special for where he has called us to. I mentioned earlier that one of the things that Esther was known for was her beauty. You know where her beauty came from? The Lord. Her beauty came from the Lord. I've known beautiful women who hate being beautiful. They're, man, I just want people to see me for who I am inside. I'm so tired of people only seeing the outside of me, and that's the reason they love me. But you know what? That's a gift. Beauty is a gift from the Lord. And in this case, her beauty wasn't just outward, but it was also inward. She didn't allow the fact that her beauty got her chosen to be something that she depended on. She recognized it was a gift. But beauty, when it's only skin deep, is not going to get you very far. Her beauty also came from within, another gift, a humble heart. She was teachable. She saw the need for more knowledge, and she sought out those who could give it to her. That's a gift. That is a gift. A teachable heart is a gift. And she used the beauty she was given, inward and outward, to be able to enter into an arena that not everybody could. Some of you are going to be places that nobody else can go. For our pest control guys in here, you're going to walk into homes that nobody else can walk into. Police can't even walk into some of the homes that you walk into. But you have a door to walk into those homes. So you know what? You walk through that door, you've been given a special gift, the ability to understand pest control. So you walk into those homes and you do your pest control jobs, but you walk into those homes with the anointing of God, praying, everywhere I spray, everywhere my feet go is for the kingdom of God. Every demonic spirit in this home is broken. That's a gift. Not just a job, it's a gift. There are those of you that work on computers that do a great job. I'm not one of those, but there are those of you in this room that do a great job on computers. It's a gift. So when you're on the internet places that nobody else can go, you're praying over those places and you are believing the Lord to keep them safe, to keep people safe, to keep it pure. You're anointed for that. Amen? Some of you have relationships with people that nobody else has relationships with. And you ask yourself, why do they even like me? For such a time as this. You have an open door to be able to walk through to be a blessing. I was telling Luke the other day, he's president of his high school. I told him, you know what? You're able to go in that high school anywhere you want. I can't do that. I can't just walk in. I told him, you know what? For such a time as this, you have been placed. You can walk through that place praying over it. You don't have to be loud and obnoxious, but you're praying over it, commanding every demonic spirit to leave. You have authority. Do you see what I'm saying? When God does something in our lives and you're like, why am I here? This is not, no. Stop asking why. Start looking around for who. Who am I here for? What am I here for, God? Ask him and he will show you. Paul was another example of someone who had a special gift that God gave him. Something we don't often think about Paul. Paul was smart. We probably would consider him a nerd. He was a very intellectual man. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. What does that mean? He was able to retain knowledge from the word. It didn't just go in one ear and out the other, right? It was one of those that gets stuck, and he retained it. Doesn't say it for sure, but maybe he was one of those guys that has, like, you know, the photographic memory. They remember everything they've studied, right? That's a gift. Why was it important for Paul to have that gift? Because when Paul was brought before kings, he knew what to say. He wasn't intimidated. Why? Because he knew stuff. He understood stuff. So if you're one of those people that information comes in and you grab hold of it and you hold on to it, guess what? It's a gift. And God is going to use that gift to touch people's lives through you. You have an intelligence about you that you're going to be able to speak to kings and those in authority. I think about the story of Paul when he was in Athens and there was all the other gods. And he was able to converse with all of these other intellectuals. Why? Because God had gifted him with the brain. He was a nerd. And God was using that nerdiness to be able to speak the gospel in a way these people understood and grabbed hold of. Don't be ashamed of your gift. Amen? For such a time as this, you have been given something special, something unique that God is going to use in these last days to save those around you. Somebody say amen. Woo! So God places us where we are for his purpose to be accomplished. God has given each of us something special for where he's called us to. Now this one isn't warm and fuzzy. And it's this: disobedience is costly. Disobedience is costly to us and those we are called to. Esther had a choice, and Mordecai knew it. Something we don't think about with Mordecai. Do you know where Mordecai was always hanging out? At the city gate. You know what happened at the city gate? Everything. That's where all the hub was. People talked. You know, they swapped things. A lot of business was done there. A lot of lawyer and trading and, not political, am I trying business? But there's the other word. A lot of stuff happened. And Mordecai was in the middle of it. Right? You ever known people like that? They're just in the middle of it. They just know everything that's going on. Right? It's a gift. And Mordecai was aware of what was going on. And he knew Esther had a choice. And he knew that if he didn't speak up, it could be costly for her. And it says later on, or earlier in the verse, we can go ahead and read it real quick in verse 14. And it says, "For if you remain completely silent at this time," ouch, ouch. How many times have you remained silent when you should have said something? And then how many times did you say something when you should have remained silent? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? "For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place." Listen to this. "But you and your father's house will perish." Ouch. Ouch. Disobedience is costly. He knew that if she kept silent, she wouldn't be safe. He knew that her unwillingness to do what God was calling her to do would result in the end of her family line. And he knew that her unwillingness and her silence could be the end of their people. Disobedience has consequences. And when you know that God has a plan for your life and you don't do it, it's going to affect you. I know this is something we don't like to hear about, disobedience, right? Because we live in an age where it's grace, 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 grace. All kinds of grace, right? But you know what? When you sin, there is a consequence. I'm sorry. That's the truth of the word. And if God asks you to do something and you say no in disobedience, there is a consequence in your life. And it's costly. And I'm here to tell you today, don't say no to God. You may have him as the Lord of your life and the Savior of your life, but the Lord told me there are people in this room, he's called you to do something, and you've said no. For whatever reason, you didn't feel worthy enough. Maybe felt like it's out of your reach. Maybe felt like it was too much, too big. You weren't ready for it. You know what? Neither was Esther. Neither was Esther, but she chose to rise up and do what God called her to do, and he gave her favor and anointing for what he called her to do. There's another man in the Bible who learned the hard way. His name was Samson. Samson was also a man that God had called to rise up and to save his people. And like Esther, he had a choice. Unlike Esther, he chose to disobey. How many times have you read the story of Samson and you just shake your head? Dude, really? I mean, the whole scenario with Delilah, right? I mean, first of all, he never should have been there in the first place because she was not a good woman, and he never should have been there in the first place, and that's all I'm going to say. But then, what is it, 3-4 times that she asked him the source of his strength? And he lies to her the first couple, but then he tells her the truth after she's already attempted to do the 3 other things that he said would cause him to lose. What would make him think if he told the truth that she wouldn't do it this time? But see, that's what disobedience does. It does things with your brain. You stop thinking normal. You stop thinking rationally. Why? Because you have to rationalize your disobedience to yourself. And when you start rationalizing your disobedience to yourself, your brain gets off whack. It doesn't see the truth anymore. Why? Because you've lied so many times to yourself that you think you are living the truth. So we can shake our head at Samson, but be careful because you're also looking in the mirror. And sometimes we do such silly, foolish things, all in the name of, well, I'm sure that wasn't what God really meant. I'm sure that, yeah, you know, I probably shouldn't do this, and I probably already know the outcome, but I really don't want to do this. So, yeah, okay, it's just easier to give in. And we see his disobedience cost him. It cost him his anointing. He was anointed. We see there's a difference between Esther and Samson. Esther recognized where her anointing came from. Samson got comfortable with his anointing and his strength, and he saw it as his strength and his ability. He forgot he was anointed for this. But Samson doesn't leave his life in disobedience. At the end, it says that Samson ended up killing more people in his death than he ever did with his entire life. But he died. He didn't get to live out the full number of his days that God had planned for him, because disobedience is costly. When the Lord has asked you to do something, when he's placed a calling on your heart, when he's called you to do something, don't say no to God. It doesn't matter how big it looks. It doesn't matter how impossible it looks. When you look at Esther, Mordecai was asking her to go before the king and to present herself. Okay, guys, it was against the law for her to do that. If she was caught and he didn't raise his scepter to her, she died on the spot. She was literally saying, God, I will follow you unto death because I would rather be obedient to you than obedient to the world. I would rather lay my life on the line for you than lay my life on the line for the world. She made that choice. And when she made that choice, what did she find? Favor, favor, favor. What did Samson find? Heartache, blindness, captivity. He worked like a workhorse for the rest of his life. He was mocked. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? I'm sure if Samson were here today, he would say, no, it wasn't worth it. My disobedience was not worth it. Disobedience is costly to us and to those we are called to. We don't often think about this, but what about the nation of Israel during the time of Samson? They were left completely unprotected because their judge had disobeyed. Their judge was captive. He couldn't help them anymore. Do you see the difference? One chose to be obedient and saved her nation. One chose disobedience and left the nation they were supposed to be defending defenseless. When you are disobedient, it's not just about you. It's about all the people that God was trying to reach and to save through you. Now, maybe this morning you're like, okay, well, Shelley, I can right now think in my head, I've been disobedient. That's okay. We can repent. That is what grace is for. True repentance that turns and says yes to God. I will do what you've called me to do. And just like that, everything can turn around. Amen? And number four, God's plan will be accomplished. Will we choose to be a part of it or not? Esther is presented with a plan from Mordecai, a plan that will possibly save her and her nation. And she had a choice. Would she stand up and be part of that plan, or wouldn't she? We know from the story that Esther chooses to go before the king. She finds favor. She's able to present the king with her plea at a banquet. And in literally less than an hour, the entire situation turns around for Esther and her nation. In less than an hour, it's all turned around. And we see that they find favor with the king for the rest of her family. Mordecai is risen from just hanging out at the gates to he's now in the palace. He's an advisor to the king. See, that's what happens when you are obedient. You open a door for others in your life to be able to rise up to places of authority that they should be in. Isn't that amazing to think about? You saying yes to God can open a door for even people in your own family to be able to rise up into places they're supposed to be. That's powerful when you think about that. She chose to say yes to God and saved her nation. But there's another man I want to talk about. And I think to me it's one of the saddest stories in the whole Bible. And it's the story of the rich young ruler. You guys know that story? He's the young man who comes to Jesus and he says, "Good teacher, I am ready to follow you anywhere." And Jesus says, "Well, have you followed the commandments?" "Yes, I have done them all." And Jesus looks at him with sadness in his eyes and says, "But one thing you lack." I read that story and every time I say, "Lord, I don't want to lack anything. I don't want there to be anything in my life that you look at me with sadness and say, but one thing you lack." And people focus on the fact that, well, you know, he was rich and it's all about riches. No, you guys, it could have been something completely different. That just happened to be that young man's vice. But there was something that he couldn't let go of to fully trust God. That was the point. He couldn't fully trust the Lord. There was one thing in his life that he couldn't fully trust the Lord with. And that one thing brought a point that he couldn't go beyond. What is your point? What is your one thing that's holding you back? Don't let that be the story of your life where people shake their head and go, "That one thing in their life cost them." I don't want to have any ones. I want to come before the Lord, and I do often, "Lord, if there is anything that I am holding more dear than you, I surrender. I lay it down. I don't want my things to be more than the calling of God on my life. I don't want people to be more than the calling of God on my life. I don't want what people say to be more than the calling of God on my life." Do you hear me? We don't want one thing holding us back. We want to be able to come to the Lord excited like this young man. "I'm ready. I am amped up. I am ready to go. I am ready to accomplish what you've called me to do." And Jesus says, "Come on." It was a heart thing. It was a heart thing. When Jesus said, "Come," to people, their hearts were ready. He's saying today, for such a time as this, now, I am calling. Are you ready? are you ready for such a time as this? For such a time, an appointed time, a certain time, a due season, now. We're living in the last of last days, and God has things that need to be done. And like Esther, we need to realize God has placed us where we are in our lives for his purpose to be accomplished. We need to make a decision today to look around us and say, God, why am I here? Why have you placed me here? Ask for eyes to see and ears to hear, starting with your home. Why have you placed me here in this neighborhood? Ask the Lord, are there people here I'm supposed to reach? Maybe you're in a community. Why have you placed me here? And then look for things. Your job, why have you placed me here? And ask him, what is it you'd have me do? Kids, why have you placed me in the school you've placed me in? Ask the Lord to show you for such a time as this. God has given each of us something special for where he has called us to. This week, spend time asking the Lord, what have you given me personally? What have you given me that's special? What is it that I'm supposed to do with what you've given me? Because God will give you a specific thing for a specific place that he's calling you to. And if you will use those gifts, like Esther, like Joseph, like Paul, if you'll use those gifts, then you can literally save and change the world around you. Don't let disobedience rob you of your destiny. If you've stepped out of line in any area of your life, get right with God today. Don't let any act of disobedience keep you from reaching the destiny that God has called you to and the people he has called you to reach. It is never too late until you're gone. It's never too late. It is never too late. I'll say it again. It is never too late to step into the destiny God has called you to step into. Ever. We see that in Samson's life. Even though it was sad, Samson still reached a point of his destiny, right? He still took more people in his death than he'd done with his life. And God's not asking you to die. He's just asking you to die to yourself and to rise up with him and go forth and do what he's called you to do. And I feel like a lot of times we say, well, God asked me years ago. It doesn't have to do with today. Oh, yes, it does. When you say yes at whatever point, he begins to put into motion the plans he has for you. And for such a time as this, now, today, choose to be part of God's plan. Stop listening to all the reasons why you can't be used. You know what? The devil's great at that. He'll just give you list after list after list after list of all the terrible things that you have done, all the mistakes that you have made, all the reasons why God can't use you. You know what that is? Just wind. It's just wind. Let it blow in one ear and right out the other. It's just fluff, okay? Because he knows he truly cannot keep you from reaching your destiny if you say yes to God. I'm sure if you asked Esther the day that she was chosen to be part of the candidates for queen, that she would have said, I am so ready for this. I am totally ready to take this on. I see myself as the queen. I don't think so. I think she was just a shy Jewish girl that was just trying to make it in the world. Just trying to do her best to love her Lord. And she was put into this place. But over time, after she said yes to Jesus, or yes to the Lord, he touched her life and he enabled her to be able to come to the point that she could walk in unannounced to the king, bold in her faith, and receive favor, bold in her faith to be able to stand up for her people. God brought her to that point after she said yes. Whatever God has called you to do, work at it with all your heart. We are not going to be listed in those that lack one thing. Do you hear me, church family? We're not a part of that list. We're going to be a part of the Esther list that steps into our destiny and saves our people. Amen? Why don't you go ahead and stand? Lindsay, can you come and play? For such a time as this, for such a time as this, for such a time as this. God has an appointed time, a due season, and it is now. It is now. It's not too late. It's not too early. You are fully equipped with the Spirit of God living in you to accomplish all that God has for you to accomplish. He's just looking for you to say yes. He's just looking for you to say, God, I'm willing. He's just looking for you to stay humble and teachable. He's just looking for you to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you this step and this step and this step and this step and this step until you turn around and you look and you're like, oh my word, how did I ever get here? What? Father, this place of leadership, it's so unexpected. But God is saying, no, I know the plans I have for you. In these last days, God is looking for men and women, young men, young women, boys and girls who will say yes to him, that he will say, for such a time as this, I am rising you up to make a difference. One person can make all the difference. One person. Today the Lord is saying, who's my one? Who's willing to say, Lord, let it be me. Let it be me. Use me, Lord. Use me. With all eyes closed and heads bowed today, I just want to ask you, really the Lord is asking you today, will you be the one? Will you be the one that steps out and says, yes, yes, use me. I don't know how you're going to do it, Lord. I don't know where it's going to come from or where you're going to lead me to, but yes, God, I am ready and willing. I am ready and willing. I am ready and willing for such a time as this. It doesn't matter how old I am, how young I am. It doesn't matter what my mind thinks I can do or can't do, God. I am just going to say yes to you in these last days. And part of saying yes to the Lord is taking that first step. Esther had to walk into the king's room. She had to walk into that throne room in front of all those people in her saying yes to the Lord. So today I'm going to ask you to be bold. I'm going to ask you to be bold today and make a public statement of, Lord, I'm already saved. It's not about salvation this morning. This morning is about the destiny that God is saying he sees. And he's saying, will you say yes? Will you come with me into your destiny? Will you be another Esther? Will you be another Joseph? Will you say yes to me and the plans? Because I need people that need to be willing and obedient. And if that's you today, I'm just asking you just to come forward. Just to come forward and stand before the Lord and say yes. Yes, God, whatever the plan is, whatever the purpose is, I want to say yes to you. I'm just asking you to walk forward this morning as a statement of faith. Of Lord, I want to be used in these last days. I don't want to have one thing lacking in my life that keeps me from accomplishing the plans and the purposes. In these last days, God, we want our hearts to be humble. We want to be humble and teachable. Father, we want to have ears to hear and eyes to see the lost. When you call us places, Father, it might be in the store. It might be waiting in line at the bank. God, you're gonna open our eyes and we're going to see people we've never seen before. And when you say, go speak to that one, we're going to go speak to that one. And you're going to give us the words, Father. Fear is not going to hold us back any longer. And Father, if there are people in this room that you have given dreams and visions of the things you've called them to do, and they were forgotten, or maybe they said, God, I can't do it right now. Or maybe they even said no. Father, I thank you for such a time as this. We are saying yes to the dreams. We are saying yes to the visions. We are saying yes to the plans and the purposes that you have for our lives. God, we are saying yes to you today. Yes to you. It doesn't matter about our pasts. At this point, our pasts are in the past. What matters is the decisions we make for our futures. Don't let there be anything the enemy tries to use against you from your past. You tell him, my past is nailed to the cross. Only the blood of Jesus can be seen about my past. Are you going to make mistakes moving forward? Probably. But you know what? Though a righteous man falls seven times, he gets up. And that's the point, people. We need to keep getting up every single day. Even if we make mistakes, we are moving forward in the Lord. And Father, I pray an anointing over every person that's up here today, including myself, Father. Including myself. Father, I pray for an anointing to fall upon us for such a time as this. In these last days, we will not be silent. We will not be silent anymore. We will speak what you've called us to speak. And when we're not supposed to speak, we will be silent. But Father, I pray that you would hear our prayer today. You would touch us. You would anoint us, Father, as we humble ourselves before you, Father, that you would place your Holy Spirit upon us afresh. Upon us anew, God, that when we move and when we work, when we go places, when we see our family, when we see our friends, our neighbors, strangers, Father, an anointing is coming upon us today to heal our land, to be able to speak, Father, and peace comes upon people, to be able to say what you've called us to say. One person, Father, we're saying we want to be one of those that you've called, Father, to save our nation. That we're not going to get discouraged by what we see. We're not going to get discouraged by what we hear. But Father, we are going to rejoice in the fact, Father, we have been obedient. We have been obedient. And our obedience is going to produce a harvest of souls. Father, I thank you for this precious word that you've given us. For such a time, now. Now is the time, Father. I thank you for the anointing that is in this room, for the anointing that you have placed upon each one of us. And I pray, Father, as we leave this place, God, this is only the beginning of what you're doing in us. Only the beginning, God, that we're going to walk out of this place and we're going to see things. We're going to experience things. We're going to feel things, Father. Not that we have to always feel or see, but God, I believe it's a supernatural shift that's happened. That from this moment forward, Father, you're going to anoint us for these last days. That we're going to have words that are going to come out of our mouths for people that we have no idea where they came from, other than it was your words. That we're going to have an intellect for those, Father, that need smarts. We're going to have an intellect to be able to reason with them, Father. And that reasoning is going to be supernatural, that's going to cut like a knife through the lies of the enemy and their lives and set them free. I thank you, Father, for people's hands in this room. Every hand in this room, Father, is going to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Because these are the last days, and that's what you called your people to do. You said, I am sending you into the world, lambs among the wolves. But Father, for such a time as this, for such a time as this, every person that enters into a home that is not their own, for such a time as this, you are speaking over that home, and the atmosphere in those homes are changing in Jesus' name. There is going to become an openness to the gospel. I know I keep saying this, but Randy, Steve, and Lane, you be looking for people that are going to say there's something different about you. What is it? I believe salvations are coming through pest control men. I believe you're anointed in these last days, that God is going to bring you into places that you're like, God, am I even equipped for this? Yes, he has equipped you for what he's called you to do. And not only are you going to kill natural bugs, you're going to kill spiritual bugs that have been bugging people for their lifetime. And you're going to speak a word and those things are going to flee. And lives are going to be changed. Father, I thank you for anointing each of our students that when they go back in the fall, there's going to be an anointing upon them from the oldest to the youngest, that there is going to be a supernatural anointing for them to walk into places and darkness just flees because of the anointing upon them today. We thank you for every business person in this place. You're going to walk into meetings and people are going to stop what they're doing and say, did you have something to say? And you're going to open your mouth and ideas and concepts are going to come forth that are going to radically change your businesses because of the anointing that God has called on you. We thank you, Father, for every person in this place that's 55 or older. You may be saying, how can God use me? I want you to change that way you're saying it. How, God, can you use me? It's going to become an anthem of your life. You are never too old for God to move in your life, to do what he's called you to do in these last days. We need our seasoned warriors. We need those who have seen it all and done it all, who know the truth that can speak into this next generation, the truth that can set them free. Don't be surprised at the young people God brings into your life. Don't be surprised at those that you go, really, God? I don't have anything in common with them. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. For such a time as this, you're going to speak words into this generation and you're going to see it explode. They're going to take what you say and go, whoa, that is so cool. Can you talk to my friend about this? Father, I thank you for these things that you're doing in Redeemed Church for such a time as this. We have been placed here, and devil, you've tried to get us to give up. You've tried to give us to quit. You've tried to give us to look at the numbers. Guess what? We're not looking at anymore. We're looking because we're ones. We're ones that are rising up. And one plus one plus one plus one is going to be a multitude. And you know that, devil. You know that. For such a time as this, this congregation has been placed in this place, and we choose to say yes to Jesus. Yes to you, Lord. And we praise you, Father, for your anointing and your blessing upon each person today. And we say yes to Jesus. And we give you all the praise and all the glory, Lord, for your anointing today. We praise you, Father. We praise you. We praise you, Lord. Thank you for this service today, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Aren't you glad you came to church today? For such a time as this. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Why don't you love somebody? And you're dismissed.